happy to bring in our KHDK NBA insider, Sam Amick. Sam Amick presented by Stockton Honda. Stockton Honda's Northern California's fastest growing Honda dealership. Get your 15-minute trade and appraisal at StocktonHonda.com. Sammy, we love grades. Anybody get an A in this trade deadline?
Man, you're going to test my memory. Now I got to pull up. It's all a whirl. You know, I talked to you guys, and I'm gonna delay my answer here for a second. I talked to you guys when I was in New Orleans, and I blamed the open bar on my fuzziness at that time. You end up being a little punch drunk after the trade deadline, and that's where I'm at right now. If I got to grab one, I will say I kind of like the Oklahoma City Thunder.
And boom!
Taj Gibson, Doug McDermott, you know, you add to the bench. Russ is great. I think we've debated Russ on the show.
Greatest of all time,
oh, wow.
I believe.
Yeah. We've debated it, but it's like, all right, Russ doesn't need to do everything. You can get him some help. And Taj has been doing this a long time. And so, you know, I don't know what he's going to give him. But McDermott, I felt like he had more that he could give. So we'll see. I like the depth there.
You know, the one, Sam, that I want to ask you about, too, is a team you know a lot of guys there, too, is Houston. I love the move of Lou Williams to go with a good offense or great offense. I think he even became better. What do you think about the Rockets' addition of Lou Williams?
I like it a lot. The only question, I saw somebody tweet this, and I agree, is kind of like when you look at team construction, it's like scoring was not the problem for the Rockets. You know what I mean? Like, how many dudes do you need to score? So, you know, Pat Beverly as a defensive-minded guard, you know, I think getting a compliment in there with Lou is good. But, you know, they got to defend. That's how they're going to survive in the playoffs. But, I, you know, especially – I actually – it's funny, Jay, I like that for the Lakers, Magic's first move, getting a first-round pick for Lou, especially in this market where you guys have seen that commentary about how the Cousins trade, you know, kind of depressed the market. So all of a sudden, you know, getting a first round pick for a guy like Lou Williams is no small feat.
Sam, I was thinking about some of the things that interest me the most when the trade deadline passes are the offers that were made that did not result in deals. Are there any substantial or interesting offers that you are aware of that were extended but were not turned into deals?
I mean, in our backyard, you know, I don't have both sides of the deal, but I know the Pacers were trying to get Paul George some help, and they liked Aaron Aflalo, and, you know, that just didn't happen. I believe I got the sense that, Charlotte was looking for a point guard. I think they were among the teams trying to go after Darren Collison, but the Kings had made it pretty clear that they, you know, it seemed the entire time that they weren't going to trade Collison. I don't know if they just feel like he's got a steadying influence on this group going forward or what the rationale was there, but a few Kings things there. I mean, listen, this Boston-Chicago dynamic, and I haven't had a chance to make enough calls and learn enough yet. Those are the ones I want to know about, you know, Chicago, and listen, everybody keeps their cards close to the vest, but the Chicago claims that they got nothing what came close with Jimmy Butler, and so we'll see. I don't know if that's the case or not. The Paul George thing is just interesting. You know, we had reported that he met with ownership recently, and he kind of reiterated that he wants to be in Indiana, but then he threw in at the end, you know, if we contend for a title. Otherwise, I'm heading to the Lakers. So that Paul thing, that's what I'm going to be writing about for tomorrow, and it's compelling. It's got its tentacles all over the NBA. You got Magic. You know, the question going forward is, if you're Magic, and it's a little bit like the Carmelo Anthony situation with the Knicks and the Nuggets a few years ago, where the Knicks gave up a lot of assets to get Melo because they knew he wanted to be there, and it didn't work. So going forward, I think what's super interesting is Paul wants to go to the Lakers, but if he goes by, you know, via trade right now, it's going to be a bad Lakers team. If he waits two summers from now when he's a free agent, you know, maybe that's the route you take. And then, you know, ripple effect on the Celtics too. They were trying to get Paul and come at Cleveland and really make a splash, and they just couldn't get there.
Sam, is there any realistic possibility that in 3 years from now, the Lakers will have acquired DeMarcus Cousins and Paul George?
I'll say yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Mm. The New Orleans situation is, I'm being a little flip here, but if Dell Demps, their GM, averaged 6 or 7 hours sleep before, if I was him, I'd be averaging about 5, once DeMarcus gets to town. You're going to sweat a little bit the whole time DeMarcus is there, because you guys already know the backstory here where, DeMarcus's camp, publicly and privately, like, forget what was said privately, like, they were on the record telling teams that you trade for him, there's a very little chance he's going to re-sign. So it better go really well in New Orleans. And if it's not perfect, in checking every single box from the team to the coach to the front office to ownership to the city to when DeMarcus has gotten used to being a West Coast guy, I know he's Alabama roots and that's near New Orleans, but I mean, I could definitely see it. The Lakers, they're going to have their hands on a lot of things the next couple of years. Russell Westbrook and his future with the Thunder is not determined. He's, he could certainly bounce. Paul George, like I mentioned, and Cousins. So, I think they'll be getting stars here at some point.
You have a great relationship with Jeannie Buss and the Lakers, and I want to get to them in just a few minutes, Sam. But we had a conversation yesterday, just me and you on the phone, and we were had a brief discussion about the quote Vlade had in the press conference about the other, the deal 2 days ago that was better. I know you mentioned you were going to do some legwork on that. I actually had someone at ESPN send me exactly what you and I were talking about yesterday. Are you comfortable having that discussion on the air about that so-called better deal? Because I think that ties up a whole lot of loose ends for Sacramento Kings fans.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's fine. My understanding is, I think Vlade unintentionally sent folks off the trail by saying there was a better deal 2 days ago. People made the assumption it was a different team. And my understanding is it was New Orleans, and they were prepared to give the Kings 2 first-round draft picks for Cousins. But then you have the outside influence of his agents. And, we've talked about these guys before, where it's a group with Dan Fagan and Jaren Akana that they rattle cages. That's what they do. They did it with Dwight Howard. They do it with all their guys. And they rattled New Orleans' cage enough to get one of those first-rounders to fall off the table. So if you're in Vlade's shoes, you're kind of looking at it like, man, this thing's getting worse by the minute. And, ultimately they obviously pull the trigger on the deal.
So I feel like that makes
sense.
Jason and I speculated on that Monday because we had seen the initial reports coming in that it was 2 draft picks. But with all of the talk about being able to trust agents, and by the way, that behavior from DeMarcus's agents, that's not uncommon. It's uncommon how public it's gotten,
yeah.
But that's not uncommon behavior by agents. And I think this ties up a lot of different things that Vlade said that felt random, but now seem to make a little bit more sense.
For sure. I mean, Damian, I think what you're alluding to, you can, listen, they're still getting crushed for the deal. And I'm always big on, like, I'm probably too measured to be in the freaking media, but, like, I just want to learn more about what are they, I'm just fascinated by how did it happen, what didn't happen, what did happen. And as I've learned more about it, I was somewhat sympathetic to Vlade because, I think it's like if you're going to sit there in front of reporters and express the rationale for you trading a franchise centerpiece for the wildly underwhelming haul that they got, this is one of the few times where, as lovable as Vlade is, like I felt like the language barrier was a little bit of a hiccup. There was some nuance lost. It was a bad press conference. It just was. The fans reacted to it nationally. Unfortunately for the Kings, nationally and even globally, you don't have the opportunity to hit the rewind button and clarify. I mean, we're having this conversation in the Sacramento market where Kings fans will have their views crystallized with additional information. That's why this pro sports stuff, it's big boy stuff, and it just kind of is what it is. Vlade had a tough time at the press conference, didn't go well, and they just got to move forward. I mean, I today chuckled, and I may have texted a Kings official just kind of joking around saying, well, rest assured, Brian Colangelo and the Sixers are now the punching bag because they give up Nerlens Noel for basically 2 second-round draft picks. And, now you had a new GM who was it had a dunce cap on. And that's just kind of the nature of the beast. You know, this stuff can be fleeting, but it can be, you know, pretty fiery too. But you know, that's kind of how I see it.
Sam, I've heard a lot of different reports on the Kings situation with that. Some saying there really wasn't a market at all for DeMarcus, seemingly that a lot of GMs weren't interested, and others saying stories of they weren't even really truly aware that he was available. Is the truth somewhere in between, or what do you know about the actual market for DeMarcus Cousins?
The market, if you will.
Nice.
My understanding is that, you know, a lot of times in these kinds of situations, it might seem like a team like the Kings should be sending out a memo to every single team saying, all right, we're going to move him, best offer, put it forward. But the problem is there's this gray area that I don't know what the right answer is, but I'll give my two thoughts on how it works. The problem is if you just are transparent about it, we're moving him. Well, you get all 29 offers and you don't like any of them. Well, then guess what? Now you got to turn around to your guy and say, just kidding. Have a good game tonight, you know, and the relationship is toast. My understanding is that they targeted teams that had the kinds of assets and the kinds of players that they had an interest in. So if a team didn't know that DeMarcus was available, like one that I don't mind sharing, like, you know, the Warriors had no idea. Well, that would make sense. They're the Warriors. Their roster is not exactly conducive to, you know, the kinds of assets that the Kings would be looking for, or even just on style and preference. The Warriors didn't really know that Cousins was available. But my understanding is that that was largely by design. They targeted a handful of teams that they engaged with, tried to let those discussions evolve, and then eventually got to this point.
Sam, we love you because you you basically validate everything that we think. It's awesome. No, seriously.
That's why I'm here, boys.
But I also want to ask, what is the expiration date on teams continuing to align themselves with a former player, concern themselves with a former player, and talk about what a former player is doing? Meaning, how long do you think in Sacramento they're going to continue to fixate on what DeMarcus is doing in New Orleans?
Oh, man, I feel like it's going to be a while. I think it's directly proportionate to, you know, if it was the Miami Heat super team and for some reason they lost Chris Bosh and you still had LeBron and D-Wade to focus on, then that shelf life is going to be pretty short. But in this situation, like I tweeted this last night, they were promoting the Nuggets game that's coming up, or the Charlotte game, I'm sorry, on Saturday. And they have those side-by-side mugshot promos that normally have Cousins in them. And it had Darren Collison. You know, that's not going to change the course of the conversation for Kings fans. You know, they're going to be fixated more on how DeMarcus is fitting in with Anthony Davis than they are, you know, when's Garrett Temple coming back. And that's not, I'm not being disrespectful to those guys. It's just not as much to chew on. So I don't know how long it's going to be. But that's the only – the front office for the Kings is in a tough spot because they want to be prudent. And today – and I don't know what they had in front of them. They had offers for a Flalo McLemore and – I don't know why I'm forgetting the other guy. I tweeted it earlier.
Collison?
Kufus, but okay. Who was it?
Was it Collison?
Yes, thank you. For Darren. But they – so they don't make any moves. And maybe that was the right non-move. But for the narrative and the PR – that just kind of compounded the fact that, you know, the conversation is going to remain focused on DeMarcus because you don't, other than Buddy Hield, you just have no new stuff to talk about. So I feel like Kings fans are going to be flipping on Pelicans games at a pretty serious rate for the rest of the season.
Sam, I think if I remember correctly, what really launched your A to Z podcast, I think it was early last season, maybe a couple seasons ago, was the interview you did with Jeannie Buss. I know you have a really good relationship with her. How long was this thing with Magic in the works? Because he was brought on as an advisor and pretty much said right away, I want to run things here. And it wasn't long before he actually was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how long. I get the sense it was definitely in the works for quite some time. In vague terms, I don't mind sharing that, like, in the week leading up to the imminent hiring of Rob Pelinka as GM, and the idea that's the guy who was Kobe's agent. The idea of adding Rob to the mix, you know, I had had a conversation where I pressed on the idea of are you already exploring front office candidates to replace Jim and Mitch? And it was essentially told, you know, would prefer not to talk about that, you know, and at that time I was like, oh, okay. All right. So, you know, the answer is yes. And now we see what's happening. So, you know, messy situation. I don't know what I think overall. I've been saying, you know, at every turn that I like Magic a lot when it comes to the star power thing is real, man. Like he puts him back on the map. Paul George, Paul grew up a Lakers fan and he wanted to go to LA already in free agency, but I guarantee you he feels a lot better about it now because Magic's there. The problem they had before was these guys like Russell Westbrook and Paul George, who grew up Lakers fans, they would see the purple and gold logo and the Staples Center, and it felt familiar. And I'm just being honest, like, then they would see Jim Buss in an arena or on a picture on the internet, and they would just kind of go, oh, boy. Like, it just doesn't resonate. You know, he's a son of an owner who had a terrible reputation. And I like Jim, but it's just that's what it is. So the Magic thing is big as far as the star power goes. They got a lot to figure out below Magic. You know, Rob Pelinka, I have a good relationship with Rob, but, you know, the feedback I'm getting from his agent rivals is pretty negative, where, you know, I think he's going to have some challenges with guys that he used to compete with. Now he's got to work with. Mm. That's never easy. You know, Bob Myers has done a really good job of that with the Warriors. He was a former agent too. So a lot of layers to it, but, you know, we'll see if they can turn it around.
And obviously he's now out of the agent business. He has to let his clients go.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like a free for all. Cause the difference between him and Bob Myers, Bob worked with Arn Tellem at Wasserman Sports Media Group, but he wasn't the top guy. Arn was, it wasn't his agency. He could just leave and his clients would go to somebody else. Rob is the head of Landmark Sports Agency. He now has to divest himself of interest. He's going to hand it off to his other employees, but for all intents and purposes, I think every player who's represented by that agency will now be finding a new agent. And you're talking about James Harden, Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza, some big names. Rob obviously can't have a conflict of interest, and he's going to be all front office all the time now.
Sam, another traditional power team is the Boston Celtics, and for years – we've been talking about all their assets, right? And here's come trade deadline time, and whether it was Cousins rumored before, or Kevin Love, or Carmelo Anthony, Paul George today, even Jimmy Butler, they still have all those assets. Was this a mistake by them? Do they have these potential offers out there, or Danny Ainge just gun shy? How do you think it all played out that Boston still has all these picks?
I don't know. I'm dying to know what they had on the table. I'm dying to know. The sense I get from Indiana was, like I'd mentioned, Paul talked to ownership, sent a certain message, and really applied pressure to this situation. I don't think Larry was happy about that at all. We should ask our buddy Jerry Reynolds, who's very tight with Larry. I would love to hear kind of the off-the-record discussions that they might be having. So Larry chooses not to move Paul. So maybe Boston just never had a shot, like a real shot at it. They were believed to have put in their Brooklyn pick, which potentially could wind up being number one, that is just gold in this draft. And I thought that spoke volumes, because with Isaiah Thomas looking at free agency two summers from now, the fork in the road for the Celtics looks like this. They have cap room this summer. If you made a trade into that cap room, get another star around Isaiah, then you not only make your team better, you do two other things. You eliminate the possibility of being able to renegotiate with Isaiah on a new contract this summer, which is kind of like a passive aggressive way of just not having to cross a certain bridge, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And you also eliminate a potentially awkward situation. If the Celtics don't, if they keep that pick going into the draft, they're going to be sitting there picking. Ironically, it could be Fultz from up in Washington, another Husky point guard. They could be getting a guy like that to come to town, and Isaiah could be looking at them like, all right, I guess you guys are going with the young dude because, you know, this is my team. I'll be drafting another top-tier point guard. So, you know, that situation is interesting. They can still do a deal, again, before the draft, after the playoffs, and maybe they will. But, you know, I got the sense going into this, they wanted to do the blockbuster move. They just couldn't get it done.
Sam, we'll let you go. Just got an alert that Dallas waived Deron Williams. They're going to let him roll. You think he winds up in Cleveland?
For sure. I had actually reported a few weeks ago that Cleveland didn't have the assets to get Deron, but he was one of those LeBron playmaker guys that, like, a real name, as opposed to, you know, some of the other lower level dudes that they were having in for workouts. So it's just, I think that will probably happen. I think he'll go to Cleveland, and it's a nice little get for the Cavs. I mean, they didn't have to give anything up, and the Mavs end up, it's not even a buyout. You're just waiving a guy, paying off the rest of his contract. And so the Cavs will get a little bit of help. I mean, Deron is not the Deron of old, but, you know, that's a nice little pickup.
Sam, we appreciate you as always, my friend. Thank you.
You got it, guys. Have a good day.
You bet. Sam Amick, our KHDK NBA insider.